Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
It is indeed a happy final for the Jaguars in Week 6 at Soldier Field, Chicago. Final score, Jaguars 17, Bears 16. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey here in Jacksonville. Fred Taylor is on the line from South Florida. And there are three smiles at least. Well, there's six smiles in this room total if you count everybody here. And I'm sure all Jags fans throughout are, I don't know if they're so far smiling as relieved today, Fred. How about that?
JP, you got to count my smile. Hey, man, that was something. I remember getting your text saying the game was flat. And indeed it was flat. But all of that is irrelevant. Yeah, at the end of the day, the name of the game is win, baby. Just win.
No doubt. They got done today. And it was not pretty in the first half. That's all forgotten. The no-huddle stuff in the second half got moving. And finally, Mike, the Jags found a little offensive rhythm there. In the second half, the fourth quarter.
You can call it that if you want to. I don't know if your receiver falling down, getting up, and running 51 yards is rhythm, but I'll take it. We talked about this, JP, as the fourth quarter was unfolding. A couple of games, Freddie, that you felt like maybe they could have won or even should have won against Green Bay and Baltimore. Here's one I feel like Chicago's feeling the exact same way. They should have won it. That's what they're thinking. Doesn't matter. Jags win two in a row. I'm with you, Fred. Take it any way you can get it right now.
You're right, Mike. That's the nature of the league, man. It just depends on what side of the ball you're on when it happens. And fortunately for us, all Jaguar Nation, they're on the winning side of the ball. And you got to really tip your hat off to the entire staff, the guys that are out there playing. I mean, they play hard. They played the entire 60 minutes. And I'm going to go ahead and just spoil the season. My game ball goes to the team. My player of the game is to the team. I'm sorry, guys, but it's a team effort, and they won it together. They held their heads, and they won it together.
It's funny. We were talking before this show. It's like that player of the game is going to be interesting. Yep. If you go a number of ways today.
Well, you know my vote.
Okay, well, we'll save our votes for the rest of it. This should be interesting coming up. We're waiting the comments of head coach Gus Bradley. Jeff Loggeman is standing by outside of the Jags locker room. And we'll have the first word with the head coach.
Yeah, let's get some credit to the defense here, guys. I mean, Fred, first half, extended long drives, but not a ton of points for Chicago. And when they needed to have stops, particularly when Bortles got sacked from behind, didn't see it coming, they fumble, they hold Chicago to that field goal, or else the game's practically over at that point.
Yeah, Mike, the defense definitely needs credit where credit's due. They played well. The start at the beginning wasn't so great, but it wasn't necessarily bad. The offense didn't help them. Yet they only gave up 13 points, and they were still in it. They gave ourselves a chance to win. And at the end of the game, I think it was 8 third downs that they defended, which gave the ball right back to the offense. So, I mean, that those are great numbers. And, again, without them, there's no win today.
Fred Taylor with us, JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey here in Jacksonville. Jaguars postgame after a 17-16 Jaguars win today. We'll get to the full stats coming up a little later. But Bortles, 271, a touchdown, an interception, and a fumble as well. Hearns, 5 for 74. You know, knocked down, looked like he might not come back in the ball game, but he had a couple of big catches today. Alan Hearns, Fred.
Yeah, Hearns came to fight. He came to play. He's a fighter, one of those guys. You know, they're tough. They have a tough mindset, and nothing's going to keep Alan Hearns out of the game, I don't believe, man. He's been that way since he stepped into a Jaguars uniform. Started out, again, a little slow, but he made the plays that needed to be made, a lot of tough catches. He showed a lot of resiliency. And, you know, he's one of those leaders of the offense that the younger guys got to look to, or guys look to for a spark, and he gave them that today.
I thought we finally saw something out of Chris Ivory, too, guys, for the first time today. I think the conditions really called for it. It's kind of a soggy situation up there in Chicago, and you figure between the tackles, guys like he will have some success, Fred. And, you know, I think – had the Jags not won this game, we would all be questioning the carries that Chris Ivory didn't get on that second down from the 1-yard line when they try to throw a fade to Mercedes. And, of course, then they get the false start that backs him up, and they can't run him on third down at that point, third and goal from about the 6 yard line. So I think fortunate that the play calling there didn't come back to haunt him, but nice to see Ivory finally getting in the mix today.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. I mean, I think every analyst and sports person, football person in the entire country would have said, hey, what are the Jaguars thinking? You pay this guy all the money, and then you don't run him. But I understood the matchup. I understood the play, I understood the matchup. And sometimes as coaches, you know, we can get a little fancy, and they would all agree and admit to that. You know, and that's just part of game planning. You draw plays, and you hope they work. And when they don't work, obviously there are going to be some objections and things to be said. Fortunately, you know, regardless of all of that, and I'm sure they're going to go back and watch it all and say, look, let's just keep it simple and pound our guy in there. Yet we got the win, and that's what everyone's going to celebrate. They can care less about the play calls at this point. I'm not even sure if they're going to watch the film tomorrow. It feels so good. I mean, this was a hard-fought game, and these are the ones that, you know, you don't realize how hard you fought until, you know, Wednesday afternoon. You're like, man, I'm tired. My legs are heavy. You know, why? You know, it wasn't a lot of plays, yet it was a hard-fought game, and they deserve to celebrate however they deem fit.
Jags win it 17-16. Tonight's game will be big. The Colts visit the Houston Texans. Texans at 3-2 entering this week had the division lead. Of course, if the Colts win, they would be officially in first place at, you know, 3-3, I guess. So all of a sudden with this win, no matter what happens tonight, even if the Texans win, you're right there on pace in the division still, Fred.
Yeah, and that's what we said going into the game in London. You know, just give yourself an opportunity. Win the ones that you're supposed to win. And then everything else will fall into place and take care of itself. It's a long league, a long season, not a long league, but a long season to this league, and injuries are going to happen. You know, and games are going to be lost that should have been won, and vice versa. The only thing you can worry about is yourselves. Pay attention to your assignments, what you have to do on a weekly basis. Those things add up. And when it comes time, you're in position, then you take advantage of it. And if you're not, then you go back to the drawing boards and you're drafting, you know, somewhere in the top 15 or 20. So, again, the guys are fighting. They could easily be, and we keep saying it's 4-1. Well, at the same time, it could be the same the other way around. That's the nature of the game. But the guys, you know, I salute them for really, really fighting hard and getting this one today.
Yeah, happy with the result. Again, I think the quarterback needs to play better. I think Blake's got to improve his play, Fred, because if you're not going to be able to get this kind of performance, particularly on the road, out of your defense week in, week out, time and again, you put them in a bad position and ask them to step up for you. And they did, and they got the job done, and that's great. It's a team win, and like I said, I'm happy for all that. But Blake's got to be sharper going forward.
He does. You know, and it's in his stat column. You know, the one pick there, but we that should have been a caught ball by Allen Robinson, in my opinion. So I don't think, let's just say if that stat isn't there, naturally you will get at least some points out of that particular play right there,
right,
or something. And then the fumble, he can be more careful with the ball, knowing this situation, the down and distance, second down. Let's not direct the band, you know, let's tuck it and get three, get ready for third down and possibly a punt if third down doesn't work.
All right, Fred, let's interrupt you real quick. Let's go to the locker room, Soldier Field. Gus Bradley with Jeff Lagerman. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Gus, 17-16 victory here in Chicago, just the way you drew it up, wasn't it?
Not exactly. You know what? We knew it was going to be a physical game. It was going to be a hard fought, and it had the chance to be a low-scoring game. So, you know, just appreciate our guys' effort all the way throughout. You don't win the game in the first quarter. You got to finish, and we did.
For your offense to be able to put together down two possessions, to put together a drive, first one was 11 plays, 63 yards. The second one, 4 plays, 78 yards. Certainly a big performance at crunch time.
It was. You know, and that's what we said. Just keep having faith. We knew that we had limited possessions in the fourth quarter, and we had to take advantage of it. We changed tempo up a little bit, and you know what? Our guys really rallied.
Defense challenged all day long. Alshon Jeffery, Jalen Ramsey, a great matchup. Jeffery got some catches on him. And when it came to the critical moment, they go back to Alshon Jeffrey, and Jalen Ramsey makes an excellent play.
He did. He made an unbelievable play. And Jalen will be the first to admit that first half was challenging. But you know what? I think he had a lot of growth. You know, we challenged our team to grow up in the second half. And, you know, he made a play. And, you know, that's what you need in crunch time.
You get to 2-3. What can a victory like this do for your football team?
Well, there's a lot of messages in this game, you know, and an ability to come back. And that's what we tell. The first half, that wasn't us. It's not acceptable how we played in the first half. And we got a second half to come out and change that. So hopefully we can build off of that. It's a gut check time for us that second half, and our guys came through.
All right, Gus, congratulations.
Okay, thank you.
There you have it. The Jaguars head coach just outside of the Jags locker room after a 17-16 win. When we come back, Jeff Lagerman inside the happy locker room. The Jags are 2-3 after a win over the Chicago Bears, who fall to 1-5. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name, the Game Day Express. New name, same great service, price, and locations. The Game Day Express. Take it to the bank. Next Sunday, when the Jags come back home 2-3 to host the Oakland Raiders. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. Jaguars win 17-16, the final, over the Chicago Bears. Let's focus now. No locker room today. I sold it, but the locker room is done today, so no postgame locker room. Jeff Lagerman will get in there next week when the Jags beat the Raiders. How about that? So let's go. A couple of guys in this game that were key. Let's start on offense. Marquise Lee. 6 targets today, 6 catches, 61 yards, a long of 14, and all of a sudden Marquise Lee is starting to become a little more consistent in this passing game, Mike.
Yeah, he is not hitting the big one yet. They haven't hit him over the top for that big field stretcher yet, but he's doing some good work underneath and gives him a different kind of receiver for defenses to worry about. Moving the chains today, you know, I think that yards per catch will increase once things start to loosen up for him down the field a little bit, but for right now, look, we're 6 weeks in, 5 games into the season, and Marquise Lee, we haven't heard a peep about any issues with him other than cramps a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah, right.
So let's knock on wood that he stays that way, Fred. But Marquise Lee is giving them right now, with the tight ends not really getting involved, another option in that passing game to keep things moving.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. And this is a kid who's, you know, the only reason he hadn't been on the field was because of some hamstring injuries. And for, you know, the organization to really just stick behind him and say, look, this is a guy we brought in, we've seen make plays. It's just, you know, and they're seeing him make those plays in practice. Unfortunately, he hadn't been able to transition that, you know, talent to the field. But in this season, he's showing the reason that the organization stuck with him. You know, and to be able to increase his targets on a week-to-week basis and doing what they're asking him to do, control the underneath stuff. And there's a few shallow routes here, a few drag routes here, a crosser or two. Eventually, they should implement a drag and go, or, you know, some other plays that utilize his speed more so than just reverses in the short stuff. But I do think that stuff is going to come.
On the defensive side of the ball, Yannick Ngakoue got another sack today. And let's see, what else did he do? One tackle, one sack, and a 5-yard loss on that sack, and just continues to grow a little bit. In general today, the pass rush was not really a threat of the game, but when they needed it towards the end, it came through. The sack, yeah, it's probably a covered sack, but the young man's playing some pretty good football right now, Fred.
No, he's playing great ball. You know, they saw something in him again in that draft. They went and got him. He's actually, in terms of the reason they brought him in, I think he's lived up to it to this point. And he's going to only get better. You know, I do understand that there are some situations where the awareness isn't always there, you know, and sometimes because of it, you know, those younger guys can hesitate, be a little hesitant. So I don't think he's playing and firing on all cylinders the way he did at Maryland. But I do believe at some point, you know, he's going to just see the entire field, understand the down and distances, when to go. And we like to say that knowing how to cheat the game. And when that happens, I mean, he's gonna really cause havoc.
Look, mostly quiet day for him, JP, but if you told Jaguar fans, hey, your third-round pick is going to have 4 sacks through 5 games, I think they'd be very happy with it, right? And he's starting week by week. I didn't see a lot of it today, but week by week we're starting to see some better play against the run as well. At least that's what the guys watching the film every week tell me, and I take their word for it.
Now, the question would be, just being devil's advocate, well, if Ngakoue's doing this well, what's going on with Dante Fowler on the other side? Why hasn't he produced, Fred?
You know, JP, I'm not going to give you the biased answer because I'm a Gator and all. they tend to come in spurts, man. You gotta go when you gotta go. He's getting upfield, you know. I think he's flushing the quarterbacks, you know, forcing them to step up inside. If that's his job, if that's what they're asking him to do, even if he doesn't make the play, then he's doing his job. We would all like to see the statistics. We would all like to see a few quarterbacks just fall in his lap. As long as he continues to apply pressure in some sort of capacity to even help the other guys so they're rewarded with the big play, sack, or what have you, and then I would take that. But again, when you're drafted top five, number three overall, there are going to be a lot of eyes on you and a lot of expectations. So, it depends on how you want to look at it for on the outside looking in. I see pressure, then I'm okay with it, regardless of if the sack is in that stat column or not.
We'll come back, and lightning-fast questions are coming for Fred Taylor. Jaguars win 17-16, the final in Chicago. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network. X1 from Xfinity will change the way you experience sports. With the X1 Sports app, you can track stats and scores on your TV while watching another game live. Xfinity, the future of awesome. Jaguars postgame continues. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Fred Taylor. The Jags win it 17-16 over the Chicago Bears. The Jags are now 2-3 and certainly right there in the hunt in the AFC South. And the Bears fall to 1-5, and they've got questions and angry fans. Well, when they're not watching the Cubs, at least, in Chicago. It's time now for the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game from Fred Taylor, brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Number one, Fred, the offense, the quarterback play, how does it improve moving forward?
Run game. Run game has to help the quarterback.
Pretty straightforward. Yeah. All right, number two, Fred, Jags overall number one pick this year, Jalen Ramsey, going up against Alshon Jeffrey. Overall, how do you think he did?
You know, I can say this was his worst game as a pro, in my opinion. He missed a few tackles there, even one late that led to a 36-yard gain. Should have been just maybe a 10-yard completion. He finally met his match, a receiver who's as big, is as strong as he is, a physical game. But he'll bounce back from it because every receiver isn't going to be that big.
And number three, the way the Jaguars rallied to win in this game, is that something to build upon moving forward, and how do they do it?
Well, this is always a confidence booster when you're down, you know, 13, and then you make a run. You win the game 17-16. It's a lot to look at. Defense held. Offense fought back. They made the plays that needed to be made. They got the victory. So this is a confidence booster regardless of how you look at it.
There you have it, the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers for Fred Taylor. A little more on Ramsey. Yeah, that first half. All day. Yeah,
right.
No,
I mean, the one thing you don't account for necessarily in a matchup like that, I think the size factor doesn't intimidate Jalen Ramsey. I think quickness-wise, he probably has an edge. But I think, Fred, some savvy by Alshon Jeffrey. He had the one where it was a little bit of a push-off, and he ran a comeback, and he caught it, and Ramsey was hot. And they used that play on the very next play, and he baited him into that, and he went deep, and he was open, and Hoyer just missed him over the top. I just thought a lot of mental games by Alshon Jeffrey in the first half, but Ramsey got the last lap, broke up the play that won the game. Apparently, that's the way the Jags are going to win it, with a pass breakup on basically the opponent's last gasp attempt with less than 2 minutes left. That's two in a row like that, Freddie.
Hey, I can tell you, I love to see our fiery first-round pick out there. He's been in the media. They've been trying to get under his skin. You know, it doesn't matter to this kid, and he comes from a great college program, I have to be honest. And thankfully, he's on our side. And he's a kid you can go to war with. He didn't back down from Alshon. You know, Alshon's a guy who's been around. He's a Pro Bowler. He gets it done when he has to get it done for his team. And Jalen, he wants that. You know, he wants the opportunity to compete against the best because he wants to be known as the best. You got to love those young players that walk around that sort of swagger, you know, and you can build around that. And I think we need more of that from our defense, the excitement, the energy, and the passion. You know, and those things alone, I think, are going to help win some ball games.
There you have it. We'll come back with the Bud Light play of the game. We'll also have a final Everbank stats check coming up. Oh, boy, what a win. 17-16, Jaguars rally for a win at Soldier Field over the Bears. They improved to 2-3. More after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. The Jags win at 17-16 over the Bears, and they improved to 2-3. The Bears fall to 1-5. The Jags still right there in the hunt now in the AFC South. Big Colts-Texans matchup tonight on Sunday Night Football. The Texans at 3-2 entering this week have the lead in the division. The Colts could take that lead with a win tonight. It's now time for the highlights from today's game and the Bud Light play of the game as well. We start off with the Jaguars driving on their opening drive. 12 plays, 74 yards. They get down to the 1. They get penalized, move back to about the 6-yard line. Third down and goal. Blake Bortles picked off in the end zone.
Three receivers left. Julius Thomas isolated to the right. Yeldon the running back. Shotgun for Bortles. He takes. Looks to his left. Now looks to the middle of the field. Now still looks. Fires it into the end zone. That ball is going to be picked off. It came in and out of the hands of Allen Robinson. And it was intercepted in the end zone and run back to the 20-yard line.
Porter with the pick. And the Bears turned him away. Then the Jaguars were the ones that went into hibernation, if you will, over the rest of the first half. They only had 3 possessions, a couple of punts, end of the half, the first 3 possessions of the second half. Meanwhile, the Bears got a field goal, Barth from 36 yards, 3-0. And then their next drive, a big reception for Jeffrey against Jalen Ramsey. 16-play drive, 86 yards, Jordan Howard from a yard out.
First and goal Bears from the 1-yard line of Jacksonville. Too tight. They hand it to Howard on a running play, and he works right into the end zone. 1-yard touchdown run by Jordan Howard on an iso play, and the Bears have extended the lead.
That made it 10-0. That would be the halftime score. In the second half, each team punted twice. And the Jags punted a third time for the half. And then the Bears got a 24-yard field goal from Barth, 11-play, 84-yard drive, 13-0. The Jaguars finally moved the ball. They had to get something going. It was the start of the fourth quarter when Ivory set up just outside the 1-yard line.
First and goal from the 1.5. Tyson Alualu in the game. 3 tight end set. Ivory the running back. I formation for Jacksonville. They hand it to Ivory. Picks his way to the right side into the end zone for the touchdown. He lowered his shoulder and got it in from 1.5 yards away. And Jacksonville is on the board.
Put Jacksonville within 1 score. The Jags defense forced a punt. The Jaguars offense back in the field. Couple plays in. A disaster.
2nd and 5 now from the 21-yard line. 2 right, 1 left. Shotgun for Bortles. He drops again. Look. Now he's going to run out of it to his left side. The ball's knocked out of there. The ball was knocked out of his hand from behind. The Bears trying to get it. The Jags trying to get it. No signal yet. It's going to be Bears football.
Bears recover Willie Young with the sack fumble. That set up a Barth field goal of 32 yards, 16-7 Chicago. Jags, though, answer. 11 plays, 63-yard drive. Myers good from 30 yards, made it 16-10. Jaguars defense got a 3-and-out. Hoyer had the bobbled snap, which helps things there. Then the Jags drive again. Well, they had run a few plays with Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee running down the field. They were out of the game on this play. Aurelius Ben had come into the lineup, and it pays off.
2:58 to play. 2nd down and 10. Dropping his Bortles. Looks. Fires it downfield to Aurelius Ben. Makes a spot. He catching. Gets up. Aurelius on his feet to the 25, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Aurelius Ben. He slid down, caught it, got up, and went the distance. And Jacksonville within an extra point of taking the lead.
51-yard touchdown for Aurelius Ben, his first touchdown since the 2011 season. He's been banged up throughout his NFL career. Extra point was good, 17-16. It's up to the defense. The pass rush got there at one point, and it was up to a guy who had been burned a lot in the first half. This is 4th down for the Bears.
4th and 10 Bears, 1:03 to play. Howard motions back to the backfield. Shotgun for Brian Hoyer. 2 left, 1 right. 4-man front for Jacksonville. They blitz this time. He drops. Fires to the middle of the field. The ball knocked away by Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey knocked it away from Alshon Jeffrey. And the Jags are going to take over on down.
And the Jags kill the clock after that. The Bud Light play of the game is the Aurelius Bend touchdown, 51 yards. The Bud Light play of the game brought to you by Bud Light, who reminds fans to stay in the game and drink responsibly. We'll come back with an Everbank stats check. Plenty more to come with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey. Final score 17-16. The Jags over the Bears in week 6. And this is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
You got your Jaguars jersey, your Jaguars throw blankets, your Jaguars mugs, your Jaguars bed sheets, your Jaguars china set, your lucky Jaguars t-shirt that's totally worked every season. You thought about naming your kid after your running back. You settled for your dog instead. And this Sunday, you're going to have your team on another important part of game day, beer. Introducing Bud Light Jaguars Team Cans, the only beer that loves football as much as you do. Bud Light, beer with your team on. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB St. Louis, Missouri.
Brooks Rehabilitation provides a system of care to help people achieve their highest level of recovery. Brooks offers inpatient rehabilitation, skilled nursing, outpatient therapy, home health care, assisted living and memory care, research and community programs. No matter the setting, Brooks provides individualized care from expert clinicians and are committed to exceptional service. For more information, visit brooksrehab.org. That's brooksrehab.org.
Jaguars owner Shad Khan on creating the best customer experience.
Game day is special, and when the Jags take the field, we want every fan to have the best game day possible. That's why we partnered with Daly's. They even have 3 locations in the stadium. They know what makes for a great customer experience. From the kickoff kit program to the way they treat our fans at the game, it's like they say, it's nicer here. I can't think of a better game day partner. I also happen to like the coffee.
To experience what Shad's talking about, visit a Daly's at Everbank Field or any of our 26 Jacksonville locations.
Jaguars fans, are you ready to up your checking game? Game on. The Jaguars Visa debit card, available exclusively at Everbank, is yours free when you open an Everbank Yield Pledge checking account. With your Jaguars Visa debit card, you'll get unlimited ATM reimbursements nationwide when you maintain a minimum average daily balance of $5,000. It's your money. Make the most of it. Visit a financial center near you or find us online at everbank.com/JagsCard. The official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Everbank, member FDIC.
Jaguars postgame continues. PRI Productions has everything you need to bring your next event to life. If you want people to come together, you want PRI. Visit PRIProductions.com to learn more. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey in Jacksonville, Fred Taylor on the line from South Florida as the Jags beat the Bears 17-16. Jaguars now 2-3 for the season. And it's time now for an Everbank final stats check. You know, it turned out okay in the end, of course, because the score was what it was. This was a lopsided Chicago statistical advantage at halftime of this game, certainly with the Jags in the first half running only 22 plays for 97 yards, the Bears 40 plays for 204 yards in the first half. Well, at the end of the day, Chicago led the way in total yardage, 389 to 317. Rushing yardage, 92 to 54. The Bears led there. They led 297 to 263 in passing net penalties. Bears had 10 for 87 yards. The Jags, well, they had a lot of them early. 5 penalties for 50 yards. That is very much improved overall from the first 4 weeks of the regular season for a team that was that had the most penalty yards in the league, even with the bye week. They had some costly ones early, but overcame those. The 2 turnovers for the Jags today, but they lost the turnover battle and won the football game. Time of possession in favor of the Bears, 35-47 for Chicago. The Jags ran some no-huddle stuff, some quick offense there towards the end of the game to try to get back into this thing. There's your look at the team stats today. And, you know, there's a few guys that stand out on an individual basis, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, starting, we'll go with the quarterback position here. I don't know if Blake Bortles stood out today, but his numbers were 271 through the air, 20 out of 30. I mean, the numbers aren't terrible in when you look at him in total, but he did have the interception at the goal line. Was that partially on him, partially on Allen Robinson? He had the fumble when he had the strip sack, but he did throw the touchdown to Aurelius Bend. A lot of work there done by Bend, but regardless, those are the numbers for Blake Bortles. Brian Hoyer throws for 300.
Yeah, I'd love to see Blake's numbers after three quarters compared to the fourth.
Probably not much at all, right? Certainly that 50. Look, you get the catch, the run after the catch, you'll take that as a quarterback. That's right. You want that as a quarterback. 302 through the air for Hoyer, 30 out of 49 passing and took one sack. That was Ngakoue who got to him. Chris Ivory, 11 carries for 32 yards, but a little bit of a tone setter early. Did score the rushing touchdown, his first of the season. T.J. Yeldon, 6 carries for only 21 yards. Blake ran it 3 times for only a single yard. They did a good job with Jordan Howard on the ground. He did score a touchdown, but it took him 15 carries to net 34 yards. Kadeem Carey had 50 on 9 carries coming off the bench. Alan Hearns led the way, catching the ball for the Jags, 5 for 74. Marquise Lee, we mentioned earlier, 6 for 61. Aurelius Ben, you don't often average 51 yards per reception, but that's what he did today on his one catch and scored the touchdown. Allen Robinson had 3 for 49 to top the Jags pass catchers there. Cameron Meredith followed up his breakout game last week with another 100-yard outing, 11 receptions for 113 yards today. Alshon Jeffrey, 7 for 93, the vast majority of that coming in the first half. However, and defensively, Paul Posluszny, 11 total tackles, including 10 solo. Telvin Smith, 8 solo tackles to match or nearly match Posluszny. So the linebackers, middle and weak side, getting the job done.
And Aaron Colvin, in his return today, had 5 tackles, his first game in 2016. What do you make of it, Fred? The Bortles numbers today, you know, you could say all the numbers a lot of times don't matter. He's 0 for 9 in 300-yard passing games in his career. He had 271 today, a lot of those late. But he did what he had to do at the right time, push the buttons at the right time to get it done today.
No, it's not. It wasn't pretty at all. And I'm sure Blake will be the first to admit that. Now, he started off slow. The interception there, the opening drive was amazing. I thought he hit some good shots, as well as the scoring drive there in the fourth quarter. So he did, as you mentioned, JP, he did what he needed to have done at the right moment. And we're gonna all say, all right, well, it's ugly, it's ugly. No one cried when Sexy Rexy, Rex Grossman, helped the Bears make it to the Super Bowl. You know, even back in the day when Jim McMahon did it, nobody complained about that. So if Blake's going to play just on an average basis, then if the defense is playing well on the other side and translates to win, I'm totally fine with that. Not everyone is going to be a Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady. But my one thing with Blake, I would just like to see him protect the ball just a little bit better, you know, and not hurt your team in that sense. Just try and be aware of the things going on around you and just protect the ball, rather throw it away, you know, go down, take a sack, punt, have a great punter in Norman. So, you know, one of those things coming to play, I would definitely be, you know, forever a Blake Bortles fan.
We'll come back with Player of the Game voting for the Jaguars Radio Network. Fred's vote is already in. We'll have to complete the process when we come back. 17-16, the Jags over the Bears. And this is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame rolls along. Jags win at 17-16 over the Chicago Bears. And now the Jags 2-3. Bears are 1-5. And plenty of questions down the line here for the Chicago Bears. That's their issue. The Jags still have plenty of questions of their own, of course, but they are still in the thick of it in the AFC South. 2-3, and they're back home next week against the Oakland Raiders, who are actually playing right now. We'll get you posted on that coming up. Now it's time for the Jaguars Radio Network Player of the Game voting. Fred Taylor, a little breach of protocol, but not a big deal. He voted
you know,
her.
I'm gonna renege on that, JP.
Oh, he's backing out.
Right. That was the easy way out. That was just the easy way out. So I'm not gonna. No, I'm not going to take the easy way out.
Time
don't fight
to reconsider.
For it.
Wow. All right. Well, who's going to go first? Oh, here, I get a vote. Mike gets a vote. Fred gets a vote and a half, technically,
correct,
to break any ties. So, Mike, you want to go for it?
Sure. I'm going to go with Aurelius Ben. I know it was one play. I don't know if they win the game if Aurelius Ben doesn't get up. I really don't know if the Jags were going to sustain a drive that would have resulted in a touchdown there. It was a bit of a broken play, but it was a heads-up play by him to get up and – a little bit fluky? Absolutely. You know what? 51-yard touchdown, does it count for 6? Absolutely. That, to me, was the play that gave them the shot. And, of course, the extra point was necessary, but Myers drilled that, so I'm going to go with Aurelius Ben on his one catch,
wow,
scoring the touchdown that made the difference.
That might be an unprecedented and all-timer there. One play and the player of the game. But
don't worry, I'll change my vote in a few minutes.
I know, yeah. Right.
I'll follow Fred's
lead. We got two segments left. You can back up. I'm going to go with – this is a tough one. This really is spread out everywhere. But Allen Hearns, yeah, he was targeted 11 times, made 5 catches, 74 yards. Remember, he went down in the game. and it looked like he took a real shot, came back on the field. He had a number of catches in key situations today. So toughness factor and the times when the catches came, that's Allen Hurns is my vote. Fred, who you got?
All right, I'm going to go with the defensive leader in the middle, Paz. 11 total tackles, 10 solos. He was all around. He made some great tackles. If he had let those receivers slip through his grasp, I think they would have converted even more. Even the big play he made on Meredith there on a drag route at the end of the game. And then that was followed up by a offensive holding that pushed him either further back, out of field goal range, and then eventually Ramsey made the big play right there on Alshon Jeffries. So I'm going to give it a pause. He was flying around all the day. He led the team, stopped them when they needed to, and got us in position to win the game.
There you have it.
I'm not going to argue it,
no,
A, because Fred, it's his vote, and yeah. And B, because he's a heck of a pick.
That's a great pick.
Yeah, absolutely.
And since Fred has the vote and a half, he gets the tiebreaker, and Paul Posluszny is the Jaguars Radio Network player of the game today. 11 total tackles in the game for Paz. He's playing some really good football.
I mean, do they still get a watch or something? Do they get anything? I remember back in the day, the player of the game used to get something.
Right.
And I remember Dan Edwards used to always bring me a watch to my locker.
See, so, you won some
Paz,
players
if
in the game.
Something, hey, that .5, that half a point, man. Just swing the whole thing wide open.
Oh, you a little kickback? Is that what you're asking for there, Fred?
Hey, listen. Hey, kickback. Someone told me he's a Hall of Famer, Derrick Brooks. He said, if it's free, take three, baby.
That's right.
That's a good point. So, Paz is the player of the game. We'll come back. The injury report for the Jaguars and much more with Fred Taylor as well. Jags win it 17-16. And this is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame rolls along after Jags win 17-16, back-to-back wins for the Jaguars. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Fred Taylor, Allen Hurns on Twitter a couple of minutes ago. Not always pretty, but a win is a win. Let's stack them up, he says.
Got a little stack going.
Yeah, a little small stack.
Two-win stack.
How about another one? That'd be a three, and you'd be
even.
Let's
do it. I'm ready.
The double stack.
Why not? The injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. And, you know, at least on the outside looking in, that's a pretty good sign today. Allen Hurns went down in the final drive of the first half but came back in the game. Odrick had a little bit of an issue late in the game, but he was on the field towards the end as well. I don't remember, guys, anybody going out and not coming back on the field for the Jaguars, at least today. That's a positive sign if that is the truth.
Yeah, I don't recall that either. And Tashaun Gibson didn't look like he had any issues coming into the game. Questionable as he went on the injury report yesterday. Of course, hopefully they'll get their two return guys back in Rashad Greene and Corey Grant. But other than that, Fred, I think heading into week 7 in the National Football League, this team is remarkably healthy.
Now, I think they're pretty healthy, you know, considering that what they've gone through and the point we are in the season. And that's the key. A lot of teams are going to be depleted. They got the Ravens game today. They lost a lot of guys out there. Weeks before that, lost a lot of guys. And the injuries are going to take place, and they're going to stack up. You know, and that's when, you know, the front office plays a huge role. It goes from the guys that have been there preparing, you know, waiting for their opportunity to play, and then the guys that the front office can find that are on the street that can possibly come in and help out. Because injuries happen, long season, physical game. Just got to keep on grinding. Keep, you know, as Hernsey said there, just keep stacking them up and figure it all out as it comes.
Hey, remember, next week the Jaguars are home. The Oakland Raiders come to town. Come see Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, and the Raiders face Malik, Telvin, Jalen, and the rest of the Jaguars if they try to lock down the bank. Tickets remain for this matchup for as low as $44. Call 633-2000. Or visit jaguars.com/tickets. When we return, we'll preview that matchup with the Oakland Raiders. The Jaguars are now 2-3 with a win over the Chicago Bears in week 6. The final score 17-16. We'll wrap it up after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final moments of Jaguars postgame. If you're in Jacksonville and listening on our flagship station, 1010XL, the scoreboard show is coming up next with your calls. Mike Dempsey and I will
find out your reaction.
Yes, I'm sure we will. Yeah. I'm sure it's going to be
it'll be mixed too. It'll be mixed, absolutely. Yeah. I think people should be happy with the win. They're probably not going to be in love with the way the offense played.
You think?
That's fair. So we'll find out, Freddie.
Yes, we will.
I mean, but we've been spoiled, man. You get it. The fans, and I don't want to say this because I am a fan, and I can get spoiled too. But at the same time, with the way things have been going, you know, for truth be told, as Hernsey said, a win is a win. It doesn't matter. We all want it to be pretty. But at the end of the day, like I told my daughter before I had to, I was forced into buying her a car for graduating. You got to get from point A to B. I don't care how it looks. Transportation, you want to get there. You know, whether it's a European car, American, it doesn't matter. You want to get there. And it's much tougher when you're walking. So, fans, let's appreciate this. It's two in a row. We haven't done this in a while, regardless of how it looks. You know, let's appreciate it. Positivity, all positive going forward. Let Jack and the gang come in here next week and get another one and stack up another one. So let's just be positive and appreciative.
That's what happens next week. The Oakland Raiders come to town. They enter this week 4-1. They are trailing the Kansas City Chiefs currently 13-7. That game has 4 minutes 44 seconds remaining in the second quarter. But it's a Raiders team that has traveled well this year. They've traveled to the East Coast a number of times and gotten victories already. It's a similar-looking team in terms of young star talent, possibly, on this roster, certainly for the Jags. But for the Raiders, it's almost the same way. Young quarterback, young playmaker on the outside, and Cooper. They got a defense that has some pass rush to it and some ability, and this is the game, honestly, I was looking forward to at the start of the year.
I think a lot of people were for a lot of the reasons you said, JP. This is a measuring stick game. You know, Blake Bortles will continue to be measured against the peers in the quarterback group that he came in with and the very next year. Those 2 years are about five guys, maybe six, that you're going to take a look at with him. And the thing about the Raiders is they're not going to be intimidated by anything because every game they've had has been a one-possession game. They found ways to win four out of the five, including Fred. Jack Del Rio going for it on opening day for a two-point conversion when an extra point ties the game on the final play of the game. It's a win-lose coin flip. I would imagine, Fred, players love a coach who puts the faith in the team, particularly when it works, but it loves the fact that Jack put the faith in the Raiders' offense to make that play.
And that's always been Jack. You know, Jack's he's a gambler. He's going to take his shots. It doesn't matter. I think when he was coaching in Jacksonville, maybe at one point, I believe we led the league in fourth down attempts. I'm not going to always say we converted those, but he didn't hesitate to call it on fourth down. And as you guys mentioned, they have a lot of young studs coming in here, and Derek Carr, guy who can sling it. He got some weapons to sling it to, Amari Cooper. And then Michael Crabtree is over there now silently having a great season. Latavius Murray in the backfield. And Carr, he's elusive. He can run the ball. He can run around with the ball. Then on the defensive side, they got pretty good players there. Reggie Nelson is over there. Sean Smith, corner, who might be a good matchup versus Allen Robinson this week, considering his size, his height, and he's been in the league for some time. And he's a decent cornerback over there. So it's going to be some great great matchups, I should say. And it's going to be a good game. The Raiders aren't really stopping anyone, which bodes well for our offense. Maybe we can put up some points this week. And our defense has a challenge with the offensive guys I just named. So I think it'll be a very, very good matchup, and hopefully the long travel and everything can help us with the home field advantage. We come away with the W.
Try to lock down the bank this Sunday. A 1 o'clock kickoff will go on air on the network at noon. So come on out to Everbank Field and see the Jags and the Raiders. Fred, well done. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week here in Jacksonville. How about it?
Hey, JP, I appreciate it. Let me say one thing. I can say one thing real quick?
Oh, go for it, yeah.
Check this out. So I'm a Jag, right? And I'm always going to be a Jag. And I'm doing the radio stuff with you and Mike. You guys do a great job in helping me. What I'm trying to get away from is saying us when we and us. You know what I'm saying? I'm not supposed to. I try to give a unbiased opinion, you know, when I do that. But I can't get away from saying we and us. You know, I'm supposed to be saying the Jaguars. if I'm going to be in this position, right?
Fred, your name is on the wall of the stadium,
right,
for goodness sakes.
You're not on a – this is not a national broadcast of the – you know,
I know,
the,
man,
the
but, you know, I'm practicing.
Broadcast.
This is – I'm practicing. I'm always trying to build.
Look, JP and I haven't played a snap since the backyard, and we say we and us from
right,
time to time.
Yes,
so, you know, if we can get away with it,
hey,
you certainly
– I never caught it, but now that you've admitted it, then everything's all good.
You're fine, man. No issues with Fred Taylor.
Says the pride of the Jaguars running back.
You know, I be trying to do things the right way.
I like that. I like that, Fred.
Bring us a W next week, Freddie.
Oh, jeez. I wish I could do that every week.
Fred Taylor joining us from South Florida. We'll see him in studio next week. That'll do
That's
it.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll talk to you, Fred.
All right, guys.
We'll move along now. That'll do it for network coverage today. The Jags win it 17-16. They were down 13-0 entering the fourth
Jags
quarter.
Jags win it.
Jags win.
Period.
It's
Jags
over.
Win it.
They improved to 2-3. The Jaguars senior VP of communications is Dan Edwards. Manager of radio, Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith and Linda Fortunato are producers. Max Hockman produces Jaguars.com coverage. For Fred Taylor, Jeff Lagerman, Mike Dempsey, and everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick saying good night. Final score, 17-16. The Jags win it. The scoreboard show is next on our flagship station. That's it for the Jaguars Radio Network.
This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show.
Jaguars Scoreboard Show.
J.P. Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah & Farrah, GEICO, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by EverBank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Yes, it does. 17-16, Jags over the Chicago Bears in Week 6. Jaguars are now 2-3. It was not pretty, but it is a W. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, glad you're with us. 355-NFL-1 is the number, 355-6351. If you want to get in, get your thoughts out there about the Jaguars' win today in Chicago. They were down 13-0 entering the fourth quarter, but were driving and scored on one of the first couple of plays of the fourth quarter. And scored more after that, and did enough today, late, but enough today to get it done.
I believe we heard the second Jaguar victory when trailing by at least 13 points in the fourth quarter, ever.
Go back
to 96, they beat the Ravens in that fashion. They had some amazing shootouts, particularly a couple of them with the Ravens that year. The one here at what was Alltel Stadium at the time was absolutely spectacular. So it's rare. I mean, you're not often going to find teams coming back from two touchdowns in the fourth quarter, but the Jags had not been able to do that in 20 years, JP. So take it. It's an unexpected victory. If at any point Chicago had able to convert one of those field goal drives into another touchdown, I don't think the Jags come away with a win, but give credit to the defense for continually keeping them in the football game. And look, it wasn't pretty, and there is a lot to dissect. I was watching this game thinking, look, if they win, maybe the first thing that pops to mind is I'm happy with the win, I'm not happy with the way they played. Well, I'm mostly happy with the way the defense played, okay? You could point to a thing here or there, but they held Chicago to 16 points, couldn't get the running game going. Alshon Jeffrey had one productive half, not so much in the second half, and Cameron Meredith had a 100-yard game. But you know what? You're not going to shut down everybody in the National Football League. Defense, good job. Offense needs to be better, but today the defense gave them the opportunity to do just enough to pull out that second win.
The offense has to do a better job of helping the defense out, too, now. I mean, they're giving up, you know, 11, 15-play drives on defense and then having to go back out four plays later. I mean,
right. Now, you can also say, hey, don't give it up an 11 or 15-play drive.
Too. There's some of that. It goes both ways.
Help yourself out. But, you know, they had, again, some silly penalties. Once again, unnecessary roughness on Jared Odrick very early. Didn't result in points for the Chicago Bears, but you had a situation. You're starting out, you got them 3rd and 11 right off the bat. You're feeling good about yourself. So let's unleash these young pass rushers. And That gives them a first down, and the Bears able to milk some clock, and that was part of the reason why that defense was out there so long. 18 minutes on the field in the first half for the Jaguars defense. 11:59 to 18:01 time of possession there, and that included the Jags kneeling down on the final play. Basically had three drives in the first half, but that's not going to get it done. But despite a flurry of three and outs from both sides to start the second half, they had just enough time to get it done, and a big pass breakup once again seals the deal.
Yeah, and after Ramsey had been beaten a lot of the day, he comes through in the very end and knocks the ball away to secure the win. And an unlikely hero today, Aurelius Ben, a guy who's been banged up in the league the last handful of seasons. I think his last catch, they said, was 2011 or something. I don't know if that's
accurate. Last touchdown was 2011.
Yeah. He's had a few catches here and
there. This guy says he has had season-ending injuries. He's had one here. It just seems like every year something different pops up with Aurelius Ben. He's a big physical guy. They like him for his contribution on special teams primarily. And you had a situation where the Jags had just run some deep patterns, and you had your top guys on the sideline. You're like, oh, boy, what are we going to do here? And then, wet field, both the receiver and the defensive back fall down. And Ben was given credit, man, for getting up and immediately recognizing the situation that it was going to be a sprint to the end zone, and the Jags were not putting up explosive plays today, and they got one in a bit of a fluky fashion, but they got it because the guy who rarely plays these days on offense knew what to do in the situation when he was called upon.
Yeah, really good to see. Yeah. No doubt.
Hey, it's just good to, man, look, again, feel good. You won. Yes, there are things that are not going to, if you continue to follow the pattern of what they did on offense, you got an Oakland team coming in who scored 28 points or more in four out of their five games.
Yeah.
You're going to be in trouble. But maybe you won't do that. That's something to worry about next week. For this week, despite the issues, they're able to overcome it.
355-NFL-1 is the number. Get your calls in, 355-6351. We'll come back and take some of those calls after a 17-16 Jags win over the Bears. What did you think today?
Well, find out.
For a long time in the game, I think we thought the same thing everybody else did.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. We'll come back with more. It's the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
The Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the same time. St. John's Town Center, where exceptional is affordable. Jaguars win it 17-16 over the Chicago Bears. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. A few scores of some later games. The Chiefs lead the Raiders 13-7. That's nearing halftime in Oakland. The Cowboys lead the Packers 7-6 early second quarter. 8 minutes to go, second quarter in Seattle. Seahawks over the Falcons 7-3, and of course tonight Colts Texans in the AFC South on Sunday Night Football. Boy, they attracted some big games this year on Sunday night early.
Well,
I'll tell you.
Yeah, at least on paper.
On paper,
you
it would have been early.
They,
I get
they're
that. Yeah,
that one, but maybe not working out that way.
Stuck with that one. Tonight.
That's fine. You know what? We get to sit back and watch someone in the division lose. Right?
Yes, which is either way. I mean, yeah, the Texans. You'd love for them to lose because all of a sudden, Colts
right, make
are
3-3,
and you already beat. Let's go, horse.
That Kansas City game up there where they're up 13-7. They've missed an extra point and a relatively short field goal. So. There you have it. Maybe the Raiders will – I kind of want the Raiders to win that game, right?
Goodness.
Come in with another W, feel good about themselves, make that cross-country trip. Think, bah, no big deal. All right, 355-NFL-1. Let's get out to the phone calls for the first time today on the Scoreboard Show and find out what's on your mind following a Jaguars 17-16 victory, starting with Lucas up first here. What's up, Lucas? How are you?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. Solid victory all around. I just thought the pass rush could have been better. Obviously, no run game continues to be an issue. But, you know, I think the real sad thing is like, you hear all these people from the national media, like, Bortles throwing all these interceptions. It seems like, you know, like we had the interception earlier in the season to Marquise Lee. That Marquise Lee dropped the cost Bortles interception. You could say two of those were Marquise Lee's fault. And now you got this interception to A-Rob, which really changed the momentum of the game. I think it comes down to pass catchers. they cost us the game, or they would have cost us the game had we not won it.
I mean, you could certainly argue that if you want to. I think Blake Bortles got to throw a better pass to Allen Robinson. I'm not saying Robinson. I think it's much like the Marquise Lee. I thought one of those interceptions was a split between Bortles and Marquise Lee. I thought one of them was on Bortles. And I thought this one was maybe a split between the two guys. I mean, he threw a wobbling duck
in
there,
behind him.
Behind him. And all it takes is that little bit. When you're already sliding, your momentum's going. It's about 6 inches behind. It doesn't sound like much, but he's reaching back for a ball that's not spinning. It's like flopping in there, and it, you know, look, does he need to catch it? He's an all-pro receiver or a Pro Bowl receiver. He should catch it. I hope he would catch that more times than not, JP. But all you could say the same thing. Your quarterback staring you down from 7 yards away or whatever. It wasn't very far that he had to throw the ball. You've got to be more precise with that football.
I will say, though, I mean, it's a pretty incredible play by the Bears there to make that interception.
I don't know. The ball popped up in the air. I thought that
didn't go that high, did it?
I thought it was kind of room service, actually, for the guy who caught it. But regardless.
Either way, it's like a weird kind of situation.
Once that ball pops up in the air, chances are something bad's going to happen for you in that circumstance. Look, again,
best case would have been just if it went straight down the
ground. I'm not trying to kill Blake here. I'm just trying to recognize here are areas where they can improve, right? Because his play all season long has got you 2 wins, and that's fine. So you've earned the 2, but ongoing, you're not gonna pull this game. If you played this game out, if you played this fourth quarter out the way they had played up to the beginning of the fourth quarter, if you played it out 100 times, I think the Jags probably lose it 85 times, maybe more, honestly. But they won it, and I'm ecstatic about that. That's fantastic. I'm sure the team doesn't care either, because you can come back and say, Blake, you got to play better next week, but you didn't cost us anything. We won the football game. So Robinson's got to be better in that circumstance, but to me, I watched the game, and even though the final numbers were decent for Blake, again, you know, lack of pocket awareness, that's what Fred dinged him for on the sack. He's pointing downfield. I think he saw a guy getting ready to break open and maybe hit a big play, but he has no sense that Willie Young is right there behind him, and he drops that ball down low, JP. And again, I think that
it's a little long, right?
That release is a little bit long right now, and I know Blake says nobody is talking to him about mechanics or any of that stuff. I don't know. Maybe they should be. I'm not a savvy enough observer.
Maybe they are, and he just says that.
Maybe that's possible too. I'm not sure. But look, happy with the victory. I think Allen Robinson will come through for Blake Bortles more times than not, including on a pass exactly like that if he got more opportunities.
The big part of this game, of course, was when that sack fumble happened.
Yep.
And it was, 13-7 at that point, and the Bears were set up deep in Jags territory. If they punch it in for a touchdown, it's done.
Right.
They held him to a field goal there, and Ngakoue got that sack on third down, and that kept this game manageable. And the Jags managed it the rest of the way, the right way, and got it done, which was real key. That stop right there was key for this game.
Lucas, thank you for the call. Let's get Leo up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Leo. How are you?
Hey, JP and Mike.
What's up, man?
Hey, man.
Hey, man, the moon is turning, and we are howling at it, man. Are you kidding me? I don't care about the ugliness of it. Y'all can nitpick all the, hey, man, we're getting W's. Jalen Ramsey looks like a serious number one pick with that breakup. Look, man, you can sit here and talk about all the bad things they did all day long. Let me just leave everybody out there in radio land with this. As of this point right now, while y'all sitting here ripping my Jaguars and how sloppy we play with this W, I believe we're the only away team to get a win today, right now at this point. Every home team has won. We were the only road team to win. Hey, the moon is turning, and good things are going to happen for the Jaguars. You remember what my boy Gruden said? We got a W, baby, and we almost choked their way, but we didn't. And I'm excited about this game next week, guys, and I'm happy. So y'all can sit here and yeah, Bortles, you got to take care of the ball. All the fumbling, but look, he makes up for it. That's the good thing. He's making up for his mistakes. Y'all have a good night, because I am.
All right,
pretty good
you,
observation there. Yeah, every home team in the early window won today, except the Bears.
They did. That is a good observation. I'll say a couple things, though. I was with you right up until the point where you said we're ripping the Jags for the win. I don't know what you are listening to. Honestly, if you think it's the case, if you think it's our job to sit here and say, Jags won, so everything is great, everything's perfect, let's not even look at any correctable areas of the you know, don't bother tuning in because that's part of the thing. Look, if they won 31-3, we'd be talking about what a dominant performance it was for the Jags. But we're recognizing things not because we're going to go back and take away a win against the Chicago Bears, JP, but because if they don't correct these, we're going to be talking about them week after week after week going forward. And that's the issue. Can they continue to overcome these? They did today. Great. That's fantastic. We're very happy about that. Nobody's ripping them, but we are pointing out the areas where it wasn't going to be good enough going forward on a consistent basis. Happy they got the road win. That's a great observation. I've just checked it. So far, every home team except Chicago has won today. That's right.
Even go back to Thursday. The Chargers
Thursday night,
won
the Chargers.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
And the Seahawks are winning at home. The Packers
mean,
are trailing
at home. That
would
mean Houston would win on Sunday night football, though. So let's maybe that'll flip. Maybe it'll be only AFC South teams able to win on the road with Indy doing it.
That would be all right.
You never know.
I'd be good with that.
All right.
Because the Jags have a lot of road games coming up. If they can get that trend going, that'd be nice.
Thank you, Leo.
We'll come back. More of your calls. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Jags win it 17-16 over the Bears. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Jags win 17-16. They're now 2-3, and they'll come back home to face the Oakland Raiders at Everbank Field Sunday in Week 7. And they'll be right in the hunt of the AFC South. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, the injury report brought to you by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. No real true notable guys who left the game didn't come back. Audric came back in the game. So did Allen Hurns, who left the game. That was a scary hit right before halftime, but came back in the game later. So good news. You hope the returners at some point get healthy. Corey Grant, Rashad Green. But other than that, at least so far as we know, no major injuries today for the Jaguars.
Which is great. You know, get to sit back now, come home, get home tonight, and we'll see what happens with Oakland the rest of the way. They got to take that long flight across country later on this week. Jags, you know, look, if you're going to play three games in 12 days, first one on the road, that's a critical get for the football team. All these next two are critical as well. I mean, you can't squander any more home games. Beat Oakland, that's a head-to-head tiebreak if it comes down to possible wild card somewhere down the line. I know some people are out there saying, what are you talking about, wild card? That's insane. Whatever. You know, win the game.
Win the game.
Right, just win the game. That, yeah. And then you got a division game against Tennessee on a short week. Following that, if you can get these next couple, just get the next one, right? You got today, good job. Get the next one, get the 3-3, and kind of start the season over in a sense, right?
I like that.
Let's get Terrence on the line. We haven't talked with him in a while.
Where's he been?
Well, the Bucks are off this week, so he's not watching Roberto Aguayo miss field goals today, so he's decided to join us on the Scoreboard Show. Hello, Terrence. How are you?
Mike and JP, did you see Aguayo make that winning field goal last week?
Yeah, was that after? How many did he miss?
It's a miracle.
Come on, my man.
Every blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
What's going on?
Hey, you know what? I say we need to get a game ball to the coach today because of that decision he made at the end to push the team back. Because I was contemplating if he should have declined that penalty, so...
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Good call.
What could have been fourth down, right? That's not, I don't think, an automatic call, but I think it's the right call.
Because it was going to be fourth and fairly short.
Fourth and six, which is a lot more
makeable. Fourth and seven.
Right, something like this. But it was a lot more makeable in that circumstance, and then they gave up the catch to Meredith. But you're asking the Chicago Bears or forcing the Chicago Bears to do it twice, convert an 8-yard play twice in a row. They're able to get one of them, couldn't get the second one, and good. Look at Terrence.
Yeah, it's a good
with
call.
With an attaboy from Gus Bradley.
You like that one, right?
I'm
that
shocked.
Was cool.
Shocked, Terrence.
Yeah, but you know what? Jack, you're coming to town, and I'm glad we won so we had that momentum. So I'm ready to send him back to the West Coast. So it's got to be an all-out week on Jack Del Rio and him coming to town. So let's lock the bank down. Let's not let him in. Let a team in to play, but don't leave him outside.
All right. I'm fine with that, Terrence.
We can arrange that.
I'm not going to be personally responsible for that, but I'm fine if that's the result. All right?
I know some people.
We're glad you're happy. We're glad. Like, Terrence just complimented a member of
today.
The Jaguars
wow.
coaching staff.
How did that happen?
Including the head man himself. I don't think we've ever had that before out of this.
That's what happens when you win back-to-back games, Mike,
I guess so. 355 NFL 1. Tony, give me that one more. Who we have coming up next, if you would. Carlos is next on the line here on the Scoreboard Show. Let's squeeze him in before we break. Hi, Carlos. How are you?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
Yeah, Mike, I really got a question. What was up with Jalen Ramsey in the first half, and how do you think he was able to turn it around in the seventh quarter?
All right.
He was just getting beat early.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
I think Alshon Jeffrey hasn't been in the league that long, but he's got a lot more veteran savvy at this point than Jalen Ramsey does, and I think he probably used his aggressiveness against him a little bit. Subtle push-offs, so, you know, the kind of things that smart receivers get away with. You can argue, well, that's illegal. Well, you know, there a lot of things are illegal. You can talk about holding on every play if they wanted to call it, things like that. So I think he did, he was really highlighted by the one that was incomplete to him early on, JP. We've talked about it a few times now. He ran a comeback route. Ramsey thought he pushed off. He's arguing with the ref about it, and it was complete. And he set him up to look like he was going to run the exact same route, and then he broke it long, and he was wide open over the top. And Hoyer, I can't remember if the pressure got to him, why he was so off the mark, but Hoyer just missed him. And from that point on, though, Ramsey did a pretty solid job on Jeffrey. I can't account for what turned it around. I don't know if he started getting more help. We were talking on a break earlier. Ramsey was apparently requesting Jeffrey all week long. Let's put it that way. Give him to me. Don't give me any help. I love that attitude out of Jalen Ramsey. You want this guy to look at himself as a true shutdown cornerback.
If that happens sometimes, you're going to get beat some of those times.
Absolutely.
But he came back in the very end and made the play to win it.
Like Fred said, worst game he's played, but that's, you know, he's been outstanding for – he's been everything you expected him to be or hoped he would be so far.
Just because he had a crappy first half doesn't mean he shut it down for the whole game.
Absolutely
and
not.
And that's the exact proof of that today.
And there he was in the most critical moment of the game, not hanging his head, not getting caught up on what happened 30 minutes prior. He made the play, and Jags win.
No doubt. We'll come back. More of the Scoreboard Show, more of your calls. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Jags win at 17-16 over the Bears. And it's the Jaguars Scoreboard Show.
You got it.
It's still postgame technically, but this is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Jaguars win at 17-16 over the Chicago Bears. Scoreboard Show continues with your calls. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Jags are now 2-3. And everybody will be closely watching the Colts-Texans game tonight on Sunday Night Football. Colts 2-3, Texans 3-2. If the Colts win, they'll be in first place. Texans could continue to secure their first place spot with a win tonight over the division rival. That is in Houston, and everybody will be watching that certainly closely this evening. You know, we mentioned this earlier. The Jags were one of the most penalized teams, I think, tied for third in the league in total penalties through 5 weeks, including the bye. And even with the bye, they had the most penalty yards through 5 weeks in the National Football League. Today, they had 5 penalties for only 50 yards. The other side had 10 for 87. So, yeah, they had some key ones early, and started making a log of them early, and that was an early log that I thought was going to build throughout the day. But then they slowed down. They played more of a manageable game there. They didn't make any really dumb penalties today that cost them yardage and essentially the game.
You know, in fact, JP, not that I think it was a penalty, the hands to the face or the roughing that they called on Blake Bortles. I mean, you got, you know, a finger in that face mask, turn it just a little bit. You're going to get that call against the quarterback most times, but it was so, I mean, we're talking about a matter of centimeters here, you know, I mean, not even inches as to that not being a penalty, and that gave the Jags a big third down.
It's huge.
Late in this football game. So, you know, hopefully some of these things even out. I don't know if I always believe that, but you know, they've had some, you know, particularly you go back to week one where it came out that the league admitted they had blown 16 out of a possible 23 calls that the Jags wanted to review.
And that's unheard of.
I mean, it was ridiculous. And in a one possession or one score game, you could easily point to several of them that could have altered the outcome of that one. But, hey, let's hope that this is a trend, that they're heading in the right direction. Also, let's hope this is a trend of Oakland not being able to stop the run, because right now Kansas City is running it a little bit right down their throat. And, you know, if you need something, I don't care if it's the other team's defense that can't stop the run. They need something to jumpstart this running game. It looked like they're going to have some success running the ball early today with Chris Ivory, and it kind of fizzled out. T.J. Yeldon never got going today. Yeah. And really, we're hanging our hat on a 14-carry, 71-yard performance out of T.J. 2 weeks ago as the high point of the season
really
right now.
It really is, and that's not going to be good enough
no.
in the long term. Just to your point there, the Chiefs are leading the Raiders 20-10. It's just under 12 to play in the third. And the rush yardage in that game, 113 on the ground for Kansas City to Oakland's 28.
Yeah, if you had Dontari Poe in your fantasy league, why you would? You wouldn't. But he just scored a rushing touchdown, their defensive lineman. So maybe it'll be a Tyson Alualu game next week for the Jaguars in one of those jumbo packages.
Yeah, Ware has 69 yards and a score. Charles, 35 and a score for the Chiefs. So that's a good sign moving forward.
I think we've got – is it Savannah Jag, Tony? Give me the big thumbs up. We go to the line, 355 NFL1 here on the Scoreboard Show. What's up, Savannah Jag? How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the refs, the officials. And it seems like it's for the longest. They still have a hard time with giving us our penalty calls in our favor because they were pulling A-Rob down and hitting him before the ball, and we don't get no calls. But on the other side of the ball, when our opponent is playing, we get called for every little thing. But that was one thing that was bothering me. The second thing was that running game has to get better. It has to get better because I don't know if we need a fullback. I don't know what the case may be, but we're just going nowhere fast with that situation. So, but the good part about it is that as far as the players, I see a lot of good things, like such as Jonathan Cyprian. He was having a bad time to me, tackling late and things of that nature. And I think he really stepped his game up. I really see a lot of the players really trying hard, especially on the defensive end of the ball. They're really doing a lot better, and I can appreciate that. So I just wanted to leave that out there.
All right, we appreciate the call.
I think they got some calls today.
Yeah, I don't know if today's the day I complain about it. But, you can argue just because the Jags were called for 5 and what, the Bears had 10, doesn't mean the Bears didn't commit 20, right? I mean, so if you're watching it like that, okay, fine. But on a day where the other team was called for twice as many as you were, I'm probably not going to point in that direction today.
You know, the great broadcaster Red Barber once said, I think vision is more emotional than it is physical because we as fans see what we want to see. We don't see what we don't want to see. And that's going to happen every single week.
To back up that caller's point, though, I think A-Rob has been mugged up until this game. I think he's been getting mugged all season long. You know,
there's no doubt about that.
And he probably could have had at least a half dozen legit pass interference calls against him along the way. And, you know, those are big plays, as we know, because they're spot fouls and can change the complexion of the game. But fortunately for the Jags today, penalties, doesn't matter. Whatever happened. They came out with more points. The only road team, by the way, to win so far
in the
National Football League this week.
Very
Thank
observant.
You, Leo. I'm going to keep banging that stat as if it's my own.
Way to go. And the trend, Chiefs are on the road.
Yeah,
Cowboys
a couple,
are on
couple
the road.
Of roadies looking good
but
in the late
not,
afternoon.
Yeah, they're not like
– not running away with it. Chiefs are up pretty good right now, what, 20 to 10.
Cowboys up 10-6 over the Packers, and the Seahawks lead the Falcons 17-3. Those games are all – well, both two of them are nearing halftime. One of those, the Chiefs game, is in the third quarter. Let's take our final timeout. We'll come Start. Back with one more segment, one more chance to get your calls in, 355-NFL1. Jags win it 17-16 over the Bears, and this is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
17-16 final, Jags over the Bears. This season, when the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more, registered fans will score a free medium sub with the purchase of a sub chips and medium drink. To register, go to jaguars.com/firehousesubs. Well, we're going hungry today because Jason Myers, though he did hit a field goal, it was from 30 yards. So no winning field goal today for Firehouse Subs. But
we'll live.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Jaguars win 17-16.
I'll buy you a sub, JP. If it
Thanks.
Makes you
I appreciate
better.
It. I'll
you can take it to the Fish concert tonight.
I think I might. Take it across the tailgate with
tailgate.
It. I might do
there
it.
There you go. All right. We got callers stacked up here in the final segment of the program, so let's see how many we can knock out at 355-NFL-1. Yep. Steve is first up in this segment. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Ooh. Hey, guys.
What's
good
up?
Good. How you doing?
Good, man.
Good. A few comments. First of all, I think everybody will have to agree that our defense holding 16 points, we'll take that every single week.
Yep. Okay, if
no
you're
doubt.
Waiting for us to agree, yes.
You're correct.
Yes, go ahead. What else do you got?
I knew you would. On offense, tell me, why don't we run that two-minute offense every single drive?
Well, the part of that problem is if it doesn't go well, it would be even worse than a regular three and out because
right.
you're off the field in 50 seconds.
Time of possession was it was 60-40 in terms of percentage in the first half in favor of the Bears, and that's basically the reason. Look, I don't think
you want your defense to have like four other drives while they're out there.
I don't think it was a two-minute offense that did it. I think you got a busted play, and it went in your favor. And again, give credit to Aurelius Ben for getting up and moving the ball. It wasn't like the Jags were in a time crunch at the point when they were driving there. It was more that the Bears were going to be in that time crunch late in the game. I don't even think time really factored into it one way or the other. The Bears didn't run out of time. They ran out of plays. They ran out of downs. Jags just stopped them on downs. They had plenty of time to potentially get in field goal range. But, hey, bottom line, when they do play up-tempo, they seem to have some more success. But that's been the critique, their own critique, that if we start out like that and aren't successful right away, you know, they like to maybe pick up that initial first down sometimes, JP, and then kind of go into it and trap those
that
guys on the
sense.
Field, don't let them sub, things like that. But, you know, other than a couple of drives in the first half, they weren't really doing that. They were coming out three and outs in the second half. Your defense is already tired. I think you're right. It just would have, you know, piled on with the problem they already had.
No doubt.
With time of possession. Steve, thank you for the call, though. I'm sure you're happy with those 16 points allowed, as are we. Kevin is up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, buddy.
A couple comments and then a question. I thought Ramsey did a good job for a while, but he's up against an all-pro. When it came down to the final play in the fourth down, he stepped up, which helped the win. And then Dante Fowler, just watching the game, they were just putting a lot of pressure on him. But when he slid over to the middle of the one time, he put a new tattoo on the Chicago quarterback. But my question is, on the when you're on the one-yard line and, you know, you have Tyson in the backfield, I think Ivory was there, and two linemen, and you're in an I formation, I mean, that's half a ton of people pushing. Do you think the offensive coordinator probably should have made a better call? And I'll take your answer off the air.
Yeah, I don't even know if it was on Olsen. I'm assuming it is, but it could have been a run-pass option. And if
check.
You get this look, you got a 6'6 tight end on the outside. We said this at halftime, JP. I would, in fact, suspect that they're going to say, if we got a certain look, that was the play, and you've just got to execute it better. Look, we were just talking about this on the last break. The reason you brought Chris Ivory here is because of that nasty stigma, that hangover of Toby Gerhardt being stuffed four times at the one-yard line in London last year. The guy's just run 6 yards. You've got momentum. You've got the Bears on their heels. It's second and less than a yard. Give it to him and let him punch it in. If he doesn't get it, give it to him again and let him punch it in. But by throwing the ball, you set yourself up there on third down where you can take that 5-yard false start penalty. You're playing, first of all, in shotgun on third and short. So even if you're running it, you're not up under center, giving him a chance to just hammer it right between the tackles. I didn't like the sequence of play calls. The good news is they overcame it and were able to win anyway.
I think it's more about that whole drive, not just near the goal line there, because they are running the ball on that drive. Yeldon 1 yard. A couple plays later, Ivory 9 yards. That was the one where he ran over the corner at the very end there. Ivory 6 yards. A few plays later, Ivory 1 yard. I mean, Ivory 4 yards, it just keeps rolling and rolling. And once you get a little momentum with Ivory punching the ball, hey, you're right there at the 1-yard line. Finish the thing. And you're right. That That four down sequence in London 2 years ago is haunting to, I think, a lot of Jaguar fans. And they just want to. Now, that said, if it's a better thrown football in the corner, Mercedes probably makes the catch.
Right. But.
We're not even talking about
Blake doesn't throw the fade particularly well, or at least
well,
he hasn't.
You got to find out if he's going to do it or
not. It's always a good call if you score. And when you don't score, I think you critique, did you play the percentages? Did you make the right call? You can look, Chris Ivory might have run it and got stuffed himself a couple of times.
That's right.
Might have had to settle for a field goal. But I think people could have lived with that in that circumstance, the momentum they had running up there. I watched a play today, one of the first touchdowns for New Orleans. They ran an inside handoff to Kobe Fleener coming across the formation. He ran for like a 2 yard score. Crazy kind of play when you got Mark Ingram, you got Drew Brees. If you're going to throw it from the 1 yard line, you got Drew Brees. And they hand it to the tight end, and he scores. So it's a good play because he scored.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
Had they scored the touchdown of Mercedes, we've been talking about, wow, what a gutsy call that
was. What a start they had.
That's kind of the way it goes. Let's get Sean to wrap things up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Sean. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it.
And I want to say, man, you know what? I'm so happy. And obviously there's a million things that we could critique after a game like this. But a win is a win. You know, this isn't college football where you need style points. This is the NFL. And, in fact, I love ugly wins in the NFL because it's demoralizing. And think about it. You know, the Bears fans and media, this is going to be that game that they lament all offseason. And I love that. So go Jaguars. What a game. Heck, yeah, we need more of them. Let's start stacking them up.
Well, look, I'm all for getting the W and all that. But the reason I think the critique is important is because – you have to point out the areas that are not going to be good enough going forward to continue to win on a consistent basis. Ugly win? There's no ugly win. You're right. It's a win. People talk about NFL power polls. I laugh. What is an NFL power poll? Go look at the standings. That's your power poll.
AP top 25?
Right? There's no top 25 in the NFL. We got the standings. That's what counts. And so, yes, in that regard, it was a beautiful victory today for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and that's a good note. Doesn't mean there aren't correctable things. There are plenty of them. But coaches love that. They love correctable things in a victory because they can kind of say, hey, my record's a little bit better now, but yet I have something to chew their butts about the rest of the week.
Yeah, the voters aren't going to keep us out of the BCS standings.
Not this time, baby. Okay. All right? We're 2-3. We're coming for you, Oakland, or you're coming for us, but you're not going to like it.
Either way, that's coming up next Sunday, 1 o'clock. Hey, well done, Mike. What
same
a day. What a win
hey,
for the
Jags.
Hey,
we got a W. I said we.
Is this a win streak?
It's a collective right here.
Or is it back-to-back? Do you count
it is
this
a win
streak?
Two is a streak. I don't count a one-game win streak.
Well, no, that's just a win.
Have, yeah, but if you have two, that's a mini streak.
Okay.
Small one.
I like it.
We'll take it.
Stack them up. Next week, 1 o'clock, Everbank Field, Oakland Raiders, Jacksonville Jaguars. Tickets available. Call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. Our thanks to everyone involved. For Mike Dempsey, I'm J.P. Shadrick. If you're listening in Jacksonville, and you are because this show is only on in Jacksonville, the fifth quarter with T-Wig and Hacker is coming up next. They'll take your phone calls after the Jaguars win it. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.